We also want to welcome each one this evening to the house of the Lord. I'm sure the ones who were here this morning have realized that we've been richly blessed in the sermon that Brother Ray shared with us from God's holy word. It sure has been a challenge, I'm sure, to each one of us. This evening, we felt led to speak on the subject of lukewarmness. The story is told of a soldier of the army of Alexander the Great who was brought before the great world conqueror for crimes he had committed. When Alexander the Great had heard the charges and the evidence, he turned to the soldier and said, "What is your name?" "Alexander," was the reply. Again, the emperor asked, "What is your name?" The second time, the soldier answered, "Alexandra." With a cry of rage, the emperor roared, "I say, what is your name?" And when the soldier answered the third time, Alexander the Great angrily replied, "You say your name is Alexandra. You are found guilty of your crime as charged, and now you must pay for the penalty. Either change your name or change your conduct. For no man can bear the name of Alexander or my name and do the things which you have done." Is Jesus saying to any of us tonight, "You've been taken into the church body. As one of my children, you are called a Christian, but you are lukewarm"? Is he saying to any of us, "Change your conduct or change your name"? He cannot remain a true Christian very long and be lukewarm. What is lukewarmness? One definition would be barely warm, lacking warmth of feeling or enthusiasm, not too concerned about spiritual things, indifference, careless. Here in Revelation 3, Jesus is saying, "I know thy works. You should be on fire for me, but you're lukewarm, lacking enthusiasm, worldliness." And Jesus says, because of this, you must go out from my presence. I don't want children who profess something with their mouth and don't live what they profess. This evening, we want to look at five areas of this sermon: examples of lukewarmness, causes of lukewarmness, signs of lukewarmness, results of lukewarmness, and overcoming lukewarmness. Examples of lukewarmness. Time and time again, the children of Israel became lukewarm in their dedication and devotion to God. And many times they were looking and seeking the formal things of the flesh as God, through Moses, led them toward the promised land. They needed to be revived because they became lukewarm and kept longing for the things of Egypt. God in Deuteronomy 8 tells his people not to forget him, or we would say, don't get lukewarm when your stomachs are full and your houses and barns are full. But yet time after time this happened. And isn't this happened today in America? We're so blessed with so much. And so many people just want more and more and more instead of the things of God. Hosea 11:7 is an example. "And my people are bent to backsliding from me." In other words, there was lukewarmness there. Amos 6:1, it says, "Beware, be woe to them that are at ease in Zion." King Solomon was a example of this. He had great wisdom. God gave him outstanding wisdom. He was a godly man, but he became lukewarm. In 1 Kings chapter 11, 4, his wives turned his hearts after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord. A sad commentary on such a wise man. In Luke chapter 2, we have an account of a person who was along the roadside and was suffering and needed help, and there were two religious people passed by. and looked the other way. It's an example of two men who were to be servants of God, but they were lukewarm. And Jesus spoke of how disciples and he was with them. Peter, the bold one, but when the test came, he was lukewarm and denied his Lord. Revelation 2:4, the church at Ephesus, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love, lukewarmness toward God and the things of God. We have examples of this around us. Many church leaders are lukewarm. Many just have being a minister as a job or an occupation. And others are looking to be exalted and praised above others. And because of lukewarmness in leadership, many churches are lukewarm. They are not informed and instructed the needs of holiness. Now let's look at some causes of lukewarmness. I believe the main force in back of any lukewarmness is the devil and his host of fallen angels. Remember this method of trying to get back at God. Satan hates God, and he'll do anything he can to keep any glory away from God. If there is any lukewarmness in your life, remember Satan has his hand in it. He will do it a small step at a time. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Too many times we don't deal with sin as we should in our lives. In our scripture here where our brother read in Revelation 3 in verse 17, the first part it says, because I saith, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's a self-sufficient person. And many people in our nation today, because of all we have and the abilities we have to be prosperous, we feel secure with ourselves. And the second part of that is they ignore their true state. They don't realize they're wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. The fourth reason here is spiritual laziness. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So many Christians today are undisciplined. They neglect God's word and God's work and God's people. Some years ago, quite a number of beehives were taken to an island on the West Indies. At first, when they were taken in there, the bees went diligent about their work gathering honey for the coming winter. But when those bees found that they were in the land of perpetual summer, they stopped doing that. How about us? God has surrounded us with so many blessings. And instead of working for his glory and seeking lost souls, have we become lukewarm and spend our time more for our own concerns than the concerns of Christ? Another area is social activities. Instead of truly worshiping God, we feed the flesh with our physical things instead of our spiritual life. We need to be careful. Many churches today have movies and entertainment. They have game rooms where they provide for their young people. They say, well, we'll keep our young people. We'll provide in that way. But you know, that may draw young people for a while, but not too long. The world offers that. We are supposed to be teaching them and instructing them and guiding them in the ways of the Lord instead of the ways of living for this life only. Let's look at some signs of lukewarmness. A young Buddhist who had made a careful study of Christianity and of the life of Christ said to a Christian friend regarding his study, your Christ is wonderful, oh so wonderful, but you Christians are not like him. Can anyone say that of us? We are not Christ-like. Why? Have we gone too far from the fire? Or are we lukewarm? If your daily work, be it at home or out of the home, keeps you so involved that you don't have time daily to read God's word and to meditate and to pray, it's a sign of lukewarmness. Do we daily examine our lives? If we don't do that, allow the Spirit of God to do that, we become lukewarm. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says we should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That means zealous and at work. How is your zeal in serving the Lord? When we first became Christians, weren't we excited about the fact that we're God's child and he died for us and we want to serve him faithfully? But are we showing signs of lukewarmness? Are other places and activities more appealing than gathering with God's people to worship? If we can miss a service, whether it be a Sunday service, or a prayer meeting service, and don't feel bad about it, I believe there's a sign of lukewarmness. Many times we don't have time for those things, but we have time for many other activities that feed the flesh. One writer has said, who walks with God will never be late to his spiritual meals. Are we late for our spiritual meals many times? When the feeling of modesty is so dulled that dressing immodestly doesn't give us a feeling of shame, this is a sign of lukewarmness. When the world's standards of fashion are more appealing to us than the standards upon which the church, through the scripture, has upheld, there's lukewarmness. There are groups and groups of people around us who a few years ago took a stand for holiness, but now step by step, they go away from that. And that's the way the devil works. This is lukewarmness. The devil says, you can join a church, but do as you wish. Do your own thing. It's lukewarmness. The devil's number one tool is lukewarmness for Christians. How's our mental qualities? Is there signs of lukewarmness there? Is there any ill feelings toward anyone in the fellowship or our church? Is there jealousy? Is there impatience with others? Is there harshness with others? Are we self-willed and considerate of others? Are we so busy making money to pay off the things that we can get more things, but we fail to daily look for Jesus to come? Is that lukewarmness? Have you thought about his coming even today? Will we lose our testimony for Christ rather than take a financial loss? If the world can see in our lives a greater desire for money and prestige than for lost souls, we are lukewarm. Let's look now at some results of lukewarmness. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God knows. We studied Psalm 139 this morning in Sunday school. God knows our very thoughts. He knows the words before we speak them. These are strong words from the Lord. I will spew thee out of my mouth. A lukewarm Christian makes God sick. He cannot stomach a person who is lukewarm. Isn't that what he says? Very clearly. Unless a person turns from his lukewarmness and repents, he will be doomed in hell. I read an account of a minister who was called to the bedside of a dying girl. This girl had lived just for this life. The minister did the best he could to get her to see her need of accepting Jesus Christ as her personal savior. It seemed as though it was all in vain. It seemed like nothing made an impression on her. As a final effort, he called in her mother. The mother, with heartbreaking sorrow, pleaded with her daughter. The girl listened stonily, and then she said this, sad, sad words to her mother. Mother, you can't talk to me now. You haven't lived a life before me. Would any of our children ever say that of us? Be a sad commentary on lukewarmness. Overcoming lukewarmness. I remember in Matthew 26 and 41, after Jesus had taken his three closest disciples with him, he went to pray to the Father, and he asked them that they should pray, watch and pray. In Matthew 26 and 41, when he came back, they were sleeping. And this is what he said, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are we aware of that? Do we watch and pray? Watch for Satan's attacks. Watch for Jesus coming and pray. Second, we need to be aware that every day, Satan wants us to be lukewarm. He'll do all that's possible to cause lukewarmness in our life. We need to ask God every morning to re-cleanse us and to purify us through the power of the Holy Spirit and ask him to reveal any hidden sin in my life and in your life. We get no deeper into Christ than we allow him to get within us. Remember, we need to look at ourselves through the eyes of God. Revelation 17, chapter 3 and verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Loved ones, Jesus Christ needs to be first in all our decisions of life. What would Jesus do is a question we need to ask in many activities and decisions that we need to make. And I believe if we do this, this will inspire us to more holiness. In order for us to be fair and fair for God, instead of being lukewarm, we must live a close life of communion and fellowship with God. If you want heat from a fire, you must stay close to the fire. If you want a life that counts for God, we must live close to Jesus. Get alone with him. Take time. I'm amazed sometimes when I hear people talking, professing Christians, that they don't have a quiet time with the Lord every day. That's dangerous living. And even when we have that quiet time, we shouldn't be in a hurry. I believe many times hurry kills our relationship. We just quickly read a few verses and pray a short prayer, but we need to seek his will from his word carefully. Just as a lukewarm cup of coffee or a lukewarm bowl of soup isn't very stimulating on a cold winter day, or lukewarm mashed potatoes that had become stiff or not very appetizing. And just so, a lukewarm Christian does not cause an appetite for the things of the Lord in those which whom we come in contact with. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Are you cooling off spiritually? Or are you a Christian who lives close to the fire and the warmth of love that Jesus can be felt by all you meet? Lukewarmness is a sin which the devil uses. Let us beware of lukewarmness in our lives. God bless you.